Let's have a word of prayer before we approach this passage. Father, we thank you that you are our refuge and our strength. We pray, Father, that today that you will be our refuge. We pray that we would be still before you, that we would listen to what you have to say for us today, and that we would know that you will be exalted in the earth. You will be exalted among the nations. We pray that you would be honored and glorified this day and every day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a story told of a man who was rock climbing by himself on a real tall cliff, and he fell off the cliff. He was able to grab onto a bush on the way down, and he was clinging to that bush, and he was terrified. He didn't know what to do. So he calls out, "Is there anybody up there?" And he was surprised and welcomed the sound of a voice that said, "Yes, I am the Lord your God. I'm here to help." And he said, "What should I do?" And the voice said, "Let go of the branch and I will float you down harmlessly onto the beach." Man looks down at the crags below, says, "Is there anybody else up there?" I hope that's not our attitude today. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. First, God is our refuge. The Hebrew word means hope, shelter, a place of refuge or trust. He's our refuge. Secondly, God is our strength. The word means force, security, majesty, praise, boldness, might, power, strength. God is our refuge and our strength. He is our place of refuge from the tumult around us. Storms going on all around us today. But He is our peace, our refuge. He's a place of shelter where we can trust. He's an anchor that we can grab onto through this tumult. And He is a very present help. Let's see if we can get this started. He's a very present help. A very present help. He is ever present. He is there. He is ready and sufficient to help. He is there to help in all of our circumstances. He allows us to go through those circumstances, but He's there with us in those circumstances. And He's willing to help. He is able to help. Many of the things that we trust in are willing to help but not able, or they're able to help but they're not willing. But God is able, willing, and ready to help us in our circumstance. Therefore, we will not fear. Probably the most repeated admonition in the Bible is the admonition to not be afraid. Fear not. The Lord Jesus frequently told His disciples, "Fear not. Do not be afraid." The Lord told Joshua in Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So why do we fear when God is our refuge and our strength? What are we afraid of? The psalmist here gives kind of a worst-case scenario. "Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling." We saw a few months ago the destructive power of an earthquake in Nepal. There's no more helpless feeling than the earth trembling beneath your feet. There was a brief, relatively minor earthquake here about a year and a half ago that had a lot of people upset. We depend on terra firma to hold us up, to support us. And it's terribly unsettling to live through an earthquake. Today we see the foundations of the society and our culture crumbling. The removal of God's word from schools, the breakdown of the family, failure of one generation to pass on moral values to the next generation, the underpinnings of our society are crumbling, and the recent Supreme Court rulings merely reflect that. It's understandable to be disturbed at these developments, but it shouldn't be surprising. A society that gives up the worship of God, suppresses the truth and unrighteousness, will become futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts will be darkened. Man was made to worship God, and if he doesn't worship God, he'll worship something else, the earth, himself, or his own desires and passions. As more of society follows suit, there's a tipping point reached where God gives man over to his own worship and its natural consequences. We are seeing this played out on a daily basis, and it can be quite depressing. This psalm was written a long time ago, but it reads like today's headlines. And it's written for our encouragement in these perilous last days. The crumbling society around us is a fearful thing, but there is something else even more fearful for all of us. Hebrews 2:14-15 says, "Inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So in the Garden of Eden, God warned Adam and Eve that they're not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or they would die. And man has died ever since and feared death. We all fear death. Whether we admit it or not, we all fear death. Even those who love the Lord and know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord fear the process of death. So what do we do with during this time of anxiety? It's natural to fear. So God warns repeatedly not to fear. There's so many admonitions not to fear. The opposite of fear is faith. If we claim to have faith, why do we fear? Why do we still have anxiety? This psalm should encourage us and teach us not to fear when the society around us is crumbling and we are helpless in our strength to do anything about it. Politicians, political parties can't help us. The greatest human thinkers and scientists can't solve these insolvable problems. Men, soldiers, horses, chariots, tanks, and drones can't help. When the earth is removed and the mountains are carried into the midst of the sea, when the waters roar and are troubled and the mountains shake with swelling, it doesn't get any worse than this. Notice that the psalmist uses the future tense, "Therefore we will not fear." This was written before the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. It says that God was their help. He was there through them, but they had to be punished for their idolatry. But it still remains true today for us. Psalmist's faith is sure because its object is sure. The object is the Lord. He does not fear and will not fear. Why? Because God is our refuge and peace, our shelter in the time of storm. He's hidden us in the cleft of the rock. He is our strength when we are weak. He is the anchor that we must latch on to. The earth will one day be split by an earthquake, a much greater earthquake. It will one day melt with fervent heat. We must not be attached to it. We've seen how insecure the earth is. Small earthquakes like the one a couple years ago are good reminders that the earth is not as firm as we think. We shouldn't be attached to the earth. We must be anchored to the rock of our salvation. So how can we be sure that He is the everlasting rock? There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. We are not citizens of this earth. We are citizens of a foreign kingdom. The heavenly kingdom is a holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is very present there, and this kingdom is more sure than the Rock of Gibraltar. She shall not be moved. God is very present help to her. There are nights of darkness to be experienced, though. Notice that this help comes just as the dawn breaks. It's said that the darkest hours are just before dawn. We are too often quick to lose faith, but if we persist in faith, the dawn comes and we experience His promised deliverance. We can also look back on what He has done. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has made the desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. There are even darker days ahead for us. I hate to tell you, but you probably already know. Things will get worse before they get better, so we shouldn't lose hope. Remember and behold the works of God in the Bible and in your own faith experience. Then the psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." God says, "Be still." That can be rendered, "Relax, cease striving." But I like the admonition to be still, because I'm a doer. I like to do things. I don't like to sit still. I like to be moving, doing things, checking things off my to-do list. I like to accomplish things. I don't like to sit still. In our busy lifestyle, we're always on our phones or the internet or this or that, watching TV, radio, movies, whatever, killing time, filling in the time with needless activities. Even if we try to take time to be still before God, there's always a distraction. Satan's or one of his minions is there to distract us from being still and being with God. Our most important activity and our most important relationship is with God. God wants us to be His focus. God wants us to be with Him. He wants us. Be still, the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. The world situation looks bleak when we observe it with the eyes of flesh. God calls us to be still before Him, to know and understand that He is in charge. He's still on the throne. We can only know peace if we know Him, and we know Him by being still before Him. His voice is a still and quiet voice. We have to be still in order to hear it. Elijah, after he defeated the prophets of Baal, became depressed and retreated to a cave where the Lord spoke to him. He did not speak to him in wind or in an earthquake, didn't speak to him in the fire, but spoke to him in a still, small, quiet voice, a whisper. We must be still and quiet before God if we want to hear His voice. We need to stop listening to the tumult around us and listen to the God who is ever present to help us. He's our refuge and our strength. He's not now exalted in the earth. Satan is the god of this world, and Satan is basking in the worship of the world. But be certain, the Lord will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted in the earth. The whole Bible affirms this. The prophet Isaiah says, "I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath." The psalmist says, 72:11, Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him. Philippians 2, 10, 11 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And in Revelation 5, 14, then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. Sadly, there's a real sense in that even among believers, there's a failure to worship God as he deserves. There are areas of my life where I do not bend the knee to Christ. God commands us that we exalt him in the earth as a witness to the nations. We can only worship properly with the whole heart and not a partial heart. We have good reason to worship him and be encouraged in these days. Says the Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts is the Lord of the armies. There's no offense or defense against him. He is with us. He is with us. Jacob was a schemer and a liar. God has shown his faithfulness to Jacob by preserving through these thousands of years the nation of Israel. He can surely be a refuge to you and to me in these trying times and forever. He's a refuge even to those poverty-stricken people in Haiti. John 2:15, the apostle quotes the prophet Zechariah, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. Our king is coming. He's here. He's with us. Paul the Apostle encourages us in 2 Timothy 1, 7 and 8. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I don't know what your situation is today. Maybe very, very dark. Certainly our nation has serious problems. The world is probably in the worst situation it's ever been, at least the worst situation since I've been alive. I hope you'll be encouraged by knowing that the Lord is with you and will empower you to endure. Will you trust yourself to the one who claims to be your refuge and strength? The God of Jacob is our refuge. And if he is a refuge for a schemer and deceiver like Jacob, or a sinner like me, he certainly is a refuge for all of us. So, application, how much time do you spend alone with God? Something to think about. We always got our distractions and our phones and time killers, time wasters. We need to spend good time, quality time, more time with God. And if God is your refuge, what step out of your comfort zone will you take? If he's our refuge, we need to be stepping out of our comfort zone and into his will, which is the safest place you can be, is in the will of God. And that's going to be out of your comfort zone. We like to stay in our comfort zone because we're comfortable and we feel secure, but we know with the earthquakes that comfort zone is not secure. We're only secure in his comfort zone. Will you commit to turn off your electronic device, whichever one you like to receive your bad news on, for 1 hour this week in order to seek God's face and to know and relax in his strength? I did that this week. In preparation for this, I got to do this. I think it lasted about 20 minutes. It was quite an exercise, very cathartic. I encourage you all to do that. Spend time. Listening to God, not talking to him, just listen. Just be still and listen to him. And I challenge you to pray that you would put yourself I challenge you as I challenge myself. Put yourself in a position where you have to trust the Lord, that only the only way out is like the man hanging by the bush off the cliff, where only He can be your refuge and strength. Or pray that the Lord will put you in that position. The will of God is the safest place to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this word of encouragement from Your Word. We thank You that You are there with us. You are ever present with us to be our refuge, to be our strength. We pray that our lives would glorify You as we step out from our comfort zone and into Your perfect will for our lives. Pray that our lives would honor You as we go forth from here. Pray that each one of us would spend time listening to You each day, listening to Your word, listening to Your still small voice, that we might know You better. Whom to know aright is life eternal. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.